Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today is a whole host of characters. With me today is my wife, Lee. How are you?
Fine.
All right. We also have Aaron. How are you, Aaron?
Doing good.
All right. We have Mike.
Hi.
And Mike's wife, Reagan. How are you?
How are you doing, Chad?
All right. Doing good. Doing good. So right now the Olympics are going on in Sochi. It's the fun Olympics. I guess you could say. Well, it's the Winter Olympics.
There's don't count. These are just for fun.
Although, there are no medals in these Olympics.
Although, interestingly enough, the medals that are given out today have part of the meteorite that fell 1 year ago in Russia. Remember,
really?
There was that. Yeah, there was that big meteor that fell.
Oh, yeah.
There was that big one. It created like a sonic boom or something. It was just a really big one.
Oh, yeah. That.
Captured on every dashboard cam in Russia.
Yes, yes. Which, it's amazing why they have that, because there's so many, like, accidents.
For insurance fraud.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So all of the medals that are given out today, bronze, silver, or gold, have a little piece of the meteorite, and only on today.
So is that, like, in Guts, the little piece of the aggro crag?
I would like to think so, which...
Which you had to give back.
They never got to keep it.
Yeah, you had to give it back.
See, now that is so disappointing.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, yeah, Nickelodeon's... Guts was a lot of fun. Was it? It was, yeah, Guts.
Yeah, it was Guts.
Hosted by Mike O'Malley.
What's the word? It was kind of like American Gladiators for
kids.
For kids, you know? Yeah, exactly. Sorry. And it was a good little precursor to like Summer Olympics and stuff. Although rock climbing is not a Summer Olympic sport, which I'm kind of surprised about.
One day.
We have 2 years till the next Summer Olympics, so who knows what's going to be.
I know, and that's in Brazil.
Yes, Rio.
Yes, Rio. I hope they do a better job of at least setting up the city than Sochi has, which is kind of
well. Is it warm there at least?
Yeah, that's good. But it's gonna be. But don't forget, that's gonna be winter for them technically. Yeah. Although I don't know how cold it gets in Brazil.
My friend is from Brasilia, and she said it doesn't. They don't have a winter the way we have it up here. But she also said they're also doing the World Cup this year.
Yes.
And yeah, while it may not be, you know, the stories we've heard out of Sochi, in terms of how bad things are, they definitely have some catching up to do to get ready, both for this year and for 2016. So
yeah,
they've got some work to do.
I'm just trying to think of like the years where there is no Olympic, like those in between years where there's no Olympic sport, like because the World Cup is the same year as a Winter Games, Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
So like at least you have excitement the year round, but like on those years where there is no Olympic Games. Yeah, there's not much else. I mean, there's the World Baseball Classic, but
that was last year.
But that's like,
And I think that's why in 2000 they went to this alternating, you know, the summer and winter the same year.
Yes,
every 4 years, it's like, oh, we can't keep the hype up. We need to find a way to keep it going.
Yeah, because they used to be the same year, Summer Olympics,
until about 2000, I think.
I want to say
no, 94. 90 was
Lillehammer.
Said it. Yeah,
yeah,
Lillehammer
was the first. Yeah.
Because it would have been 92, and then 94 would have been an off year. So,
Which I'd love to go back and look at those, because you know it's every 4 years these athletes have their chance to shine, and they've worked all their life, and if they fail, you know, it's really sad, and they have maybe one or two more chances. So I'm interested in going back and look at 92 and 94 and be like, you only had 2 years there. You really were able to get a little bit more time in. So I don't know, just something I was interested in looking at. So. Yeah.
I have a feeling it doesn't take 4 years for some of these people to be ready. I think they would probably, you know, if they had the chance and they messed up and, you know, they would come back the next day.
What?
And, you know,
well, don't they have,
they'd be ready.
Don't they have other competitions, like,
scattered
around, like,
world competitions and their international federations of the different sports.
Like any athlete, like, they could have a better run on one of those other competitions and like set a personal best then, and then it just so happens the Olympics are having a bad day, or you know, like their body's not cooperating with them, and it's just not gonna
work. Again, you don't get the recognition you get say winning a gold medal at the Olympics.
I'm just pointing out that a lot of it is chance, because of just the way you know, nobody's perfect, nobody's a machine, they can't perform a certain way just because they want to.
It's funny you say that, because the big news this week has been Plushenko and his body just not working in the Olympics, and he had gone on and won
gold. He won gold in Vancouver,
but he's also won a number of more recent competitions now that he's, you know, back up to practicing, and just his body said, I don't think this is happening.
And there's exactly, like, he's 31 and he's done. Like,
he was a communications major, which means he has nothing.
He's a Russian communications
No, he's got two bionic knees and a mechanical spine. Oh, right. So I think he's pretty good.
And yes, and I think he pretty much owns Russia in terms of popularity. Right. Like, it's him and Putin, I think that's
it. You know, got a little more personality than
yes, him. And a lot more tattoos. At least I would think so. I've never seen Putin with
apologies to any of Chad's listeners who are communications. Right, that was a low shot, and I'm a foreign language major, so it's not like I have any.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's
right. Or if Putin's listening, right. I apologize.
So,
all in good fun.
And, well, I mean, like Sean White too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean he's any worse than he was 4 years ago. It's just that he had a bad run that day. Or maybe he was hurt. Maybe the course itself was in poor shape. I mean, there's been a lot of complaints about the courses.
Oh, big time. Well, because it's so warm.
Yeah,
it's
been warm. Yeah. In watching the downhill Super G today, it was 18 Olympians wiped out, but just because it's unseasonably warm and the snow is basically slush. So.
Yeah. I mean, they you know, it's unfortunate, but this is kind of like the opposite of what we were saying. Like, because when Australia had the Olympics in 2000 for the Summer Games, technically it was winter. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot farther south than Brazil.
Right.
I forget how cold it was and any recorded temperatures. But this is kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. You would much rather have the Summer Games in a quote-unquote winter setting than you would have a winter games in a summer setting, because you need to hold the ice. You need
to
hold
snow. You need.
Yeah. I know a couple of states that could ship over some snow right about now.
Yes, that's very true. Here in the New York, New Jersey
we're
area,
done with snow.
Yeah, a lot of snow. So they could really use it, but you know, unfortunately.
Have they ever considered using the Northeast as a venue?
Well, Lake Placid has been, and I know they've always pushed the New York Olympics, winter specifically, not the summer.
Right.
I know Philly's tried to put in bids, but I don't remember if that was for summer or winter. I would assume probably more likely summer.
Probably summer. Yeah, I know Chicago's put in, but then we're getting to the Midwest.
But then again, you also have to think, like, where would they have, say, the downhill skiing? We don't have that big mountains around here.
Well, they're doing like the Poconos.
But that's like,
I don't know if the Poconos can handle this many people.
No, definitely not.
They have to build a few hotels and then
exactly. And then you run into the exact same problem that
you
know.
So stay a beautiful mountain. All they need to bring is their love of everything.
Not even the toothbrush. Well, I always think, like, how would an Olympic athlete look in the martini glass bathtub? I think that would be great. That'd be great.
It's got to be good for soaking.
I think it was interesting seeing the London Summer Olympics, you know, seeing that in a metropolitan area and how they used a lot of the resources that they had
and
still how much construction and preparation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were in London the summer before and there were cranes all over the place. So imagine that
as far as the eye can see,
the Northeast in the more metropolitan areas where we're all still under construction.
And the interesting thing with the London Games is they used a lot of their landmarks. It was the Horse Park. The Horse Park where they have a lot of the pageantry.
Yeah.
That was where they had the volleyball. So you see all these beautiful architectures and all these horse statues, and then there are the women and men in their bathing suits, pretty much just, you know, playing volleyball.
So Olympic equestrian at the Meadowlands is what you're
saying. Probably. Come on.
They don't use it for much in the summer. I mean, Giants or
and they have the horse track there.
The horse track. I always thought like the horse track, if you were to have it in New York Olympics, the horse track, you can just lay over the outdoor,
they have
the track and field events.
They have essentially an indoor arena that's not being used there.
Yeah, the Brendan Byrne or the IZOD, I think it's called.
And then there's that whole debacle of what, American Dreams or that.
The thing with the indoor ski
Xanadu.
Jump.
Yeah. Well, there's the indoor ski jump. I think it would be the first indoor ski jump in history that you could use.
Meanwhile,
in Olympics.
I think
that's going to be the first Saudi Olympics too. They have indoor ski jumping. Yeah.
Well, I was saying it was kind of disheartening as a native New Jerseyan watching the Super Bowl, and they kept showing the shot of that thing. It's like, it looks like the containers down the turnpike. It's just so ugly.
Right, but then they show you Times Square, and it's right around the corner. It's like, not even a mile.
Unless you get stuck in, an hour's worth of traffic getting into the city.
Well, that might happen as well.
Chad, do you think if they did do the Olympics here, would it be like the Super Bowl, or would it just be like, whatever? Just like, that was the complaint, that the Super, like, in New York, it felt like there was no Super Bowl because nobody essentially cared about it.
No, when they have it in Houston or San Diego, or Miami, it shuts the city down because that's where your focus is. Mm-hmm. That's where you But in New York City, that's 8 million people in and out. It doesn't really affect it. It doesn't slow it down.
I think the Olympics might be a different story because the Super Bowl is... The problem with the Super Bowl in comparison is it's one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they try to make... Mm-hmm. They try to hype up the week of events leading up to it. They had all the stuff going on in Times Square. But what it boils down to is 1 3-4 hour football game. The Olympics would be going on for 2 weeks, plus all the stuff leading up to it. You'd have these teams coming in early to practice, qualifying, all that. I think it probably ends up being, for example, they were able to do World Cup in the Meadowlands in 94.
Mm. Yes.
And again, it was the same thing. It's because you had a month of soccer games going on all around the area. So because there's the continued interest, it's not all just leading up to one event.
And don't forget the Super Bowl, that's only two teams. If you're not a fan of either, your interest leading up to the game wanes until the game is actually starting. But in the Olympics, your country, especially someplace like America, and summer games especially, where the vast majority, almost all countries, have a representative for the summer games, not so much the winter, but you have a horse in the race, to put it simply.
I think the other thing is that to have to have the Olympics, it also requires more space. The Super Bowl just takes place within the stadium that it's being played in. If to have the Olympics summer or winter, you would need to use a number of different venues that could come further south into New Jersey, go further north into parts of New York, go out to Pennsylvania.
Right. And that's the whole thing. Like, if you look at the Olympics, they always have not everything is within like a square mile radius. Like, they really they go elsewhere. Yeah. Like, I know in Sochi, where the downhill skiing, the outdoor skiing events, those are like 40 miles. I want to say 40 minutes or 40 miles.
I think it's
away.
Almost like an hour away from where they're staying.
And I know for
Krasnaya Poliana, I think, is the name of the place. It's a totally different city.
In the London Games, where they had soccer, one of the soccer venues was in Glasgow, which is in Scotland.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, that's not exactly right around the corner from London. Yeah. So kind of how they did the World Cup in '94 in America, they had it at all. They had it in Los Angeles and Chicago, Dallas, and all across the country.
When you look at any World Cup, they're always all over the country. Right. The German ones a couple years back.
Yeah.
2002, they were in two different countries.
Right, exactly. It's
Korea-Japan World Cup. They actually were split among two different countries.
Right.
So
if I'm thinking like a Winter Games here in the tri-state area, you would have like the hockey or the arena venues. You could use the Prudential Center, which is in Newark. You could use the Izod Center, which is at the Meadowlands. You could use Madison Square Garden. And if you need to, you can go out to the Nassau Coliseum and hope it doesn't fall on people.
And you have Red Bull Stadium for some of
Red Bull Stadium.
All sorts of other...
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of locations, and you can go out to something like Camelback or other... Where's the New York Ski? The New York...
Not Blue Mountain?
I'm going to say Lake George. Not Lake George. No,
Lake George is one of them, but that's pretty far.
It's kind of far out.
That's the casino.
That's the casino. Although they have an arena, too. Okay, so you can use an arena for something over there as well. So it'd be interesting to see if an Olympics were to come to New York City and its all surroundings.
I mean, summer would be the...
Yeah, I think it would be summer
would be good.
Summer.
There's all these stadiums. I mean, there's so many venues.
There is.
I don't know.
I mean, they could always do rowing in, like, the East River.
If they really want
to. So long as they don't fall in.
They could bring...
that's fine.
Not to stump too hard for my hometown, but Philadelphia is a very big rowing city. We have all the infrastructure, the Dad's Row, and all that stuff.
And you do have the Boathouse
Row,
which that would look really cool.
Although,
yeah, and we actually already have all of the bleachers set up for it because it's a big deal, the Penn Relays. Yeah.
Although to really like also kind of bring it together would be if either New York or Philadelphia, you could use it like Princeton.
Princeton, I was just
because Princeton's all, you know, it's
big growing.
Was it Lake Carnegie or whatever they call it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, well, it's an Ivy League, so it's all about rowing.
Back in '96 in Atlanta, did it affect the Braves at all when they had to get it?
Well, they were still actually. Was it because they were still technically at Fulton County Stadium, the stadium before, and Turner Field? They had constructed it as the track and field, the opening ceremony stadium, the Olympic Stadium. After the Olympics, then they modified it slightly, and now it's Turner Field.
And they're moving in,
and they're moving out of Turner Field for some I don't know reason. I mean, they started there in 97, and it's 2014. So what is that? That's not even 20 years, is it?
No.
Well, I mean, it's also...
You have to be a bunch of English majors about how
to do that. Yeah, I know, really.
Look, I'm just...
I mean, it's also, there's also kind of a sad spin to the suit. If they did bring it here, and they had to build, say, some new stadiums...
They wouldn't build a whole new stadium.
Well, I'm just hypothetically speaking.
Right.
And, you know, what happens when the Olympics are over... Yeah. And nobody moves in. Does it just sit there and rot?
Well, Atlanta. We've been to Atlanta.
Atlanta,
and it's
just
real, it's kind of like
it just sits there.
They leave all the Olympic stuff, like I guess as almost like as a
it's
tribute.
Like, yeah.
But it's all faded and like
it's falling apart.
Yeah.
Most cities have that problem.
Yeah.
Look up Greece. Athens, Greece.
Yeah.
There are pictures of just everything. Like because they had to build baseball and softball stadiums when they were set. They don't play it over there. They don't play it over there. I know China is. It's sad
that
as well.
Hard, yeah.
Well,
Beijing.
I think it was one of them. The swim center.
Mm-hmm.
It's turned into an indoor water park.
Yeah,
yeah, and that was Beijing.
That was Beijing.
But it just gave up and said
Barcelona.
Oh,
you know, they had this whole big Olympic thing, and when we went in 2006, we're like, oh yeah, let's go visit the Olympic State. And it's aside from the fact that it was, I think, like 102 in the shade that day, it was really hot. It was just like falling apart, and it really is just sort of like a sad tribute to something that happened.
Berlin is still using the 1936 stadium, but that's just German efficiency.
No, it's
actually true. They actually still do the Berlin Bundesliga team actually does play in the Olympiastadion.
Yeah,
still.
You can always use it. And I think someplace like
but for obvious reasons, Hitler's box isn't there.
Well, no,
and it's not everywhere that does it. It's just only certain venues.
I think Atlanta is a tough sale, but I think if you get in like a much bigger city like a New York, where it also encompasses, that's why I say the tri-state area, because you can it's so easy to get into Connecticut and New Jersey.
I don't think they need to build anything for that. There's so many venues that they could use around.
And even if they did, they could turn it into something else.
We were talking earlier, the Islanders would finally get their new Coliseum.
Yes!
And the taxpayers wouldn't have to
Pay
for
it. Like, I think L.A., because I've never been to L.A. I know they had the Olympics in 84.
80?
I forget which one. Anyway, they had the Olympics. I know that
one.
In
the 80s, yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's so big. Like the Los Angeles area, because it encompasses so many different...
Was the Los Angeles Coliseum where the Raiders and the Rams used to play, was that part of the Olympic venue?
Yes, that was the Los Angeles Memorial.
That's still used.
USC, the Trojans play there.
Right.
Their football games play there. So, and I know they have the track.
And Montreal turned their Olympic Park into, it's not really used for sports anymore, but the Velodrome is now a nature museum. They did a lot with
that's
their
right, sure. That's right, yeah. It's like a biodome near their zoo. Yeah.
I know Vancouver.
And you can still go up the tower on the funicular. Yeah, it's really nice.
Vancouver was another one, because they have their skiing events was at, what's the mountain? You have family members who you
Whistler.
And that's not exactly right around the corner either.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To go back to that, but like they use their Canadian Football League stadium, GM Place, where their football team plays as their Olympic. They had their Olympic ceremonies there. So yeah, so it's interesting. The Olympics are fun. They're always good to have on, and you know whether. You know, but I keep on saying because 2 years it's going to be in Brazil, so at least it's in our time zone.
Yeah.
So we're seeing primetime stuff in primetime live. You know,
it'll be two or something, depending on what part of the country.
Yeah.
I love that. Really nice.
I have a question, Ted.
Sure.
Was there ever were NHL players always allowed in the Olympics?
No, they started in 98 at the
Nagano Games. Is that the same time they allowed NBA players too, or is that something
about that?
Yeah. No, 98 was NBA players was 94 at Barcelona.
That was controversial. No,
92 in Barcelona.
92,
that was controversial, correct?
At the time? Very, yeah.
Okay, and was the NHL thing controversial?
Well? No, they wanted him. Okay. They wanted them because they're just like, we have college kids, and this isn't very interesting.
Yeah, there weren't enough hockey players, essentially.
That's why the biggest hockey Olympic moment you've ever heard of was the Miracle on Ice.
Right.
Because these college kids beat the great Red Russian team, who later on, many of those players did join in the NHL.
Okay. Right.
So that's why it's the biggest event you've ever heard of in terms of American Olympic hockey.
Right.
Until now, where NHL players are going, and you can see them, you know, the guys that you like.
Well, there used to be a mandate. I thought that you had to be an amateur. You couldn't be a professional.
That's kind of, but then they said, well, you know, the competition isn't as strong, and then you saw some, and it's interesting because the Dream Teamers of the 92 Olympics on the American team, when they would play all these other countries, that's why they were all blowouts, because like all these, you know, German players or, all these European players are just looking like, there's Michael Jordan, oh my God, what's up? Like, they just let him dunk over them. They were so in awe. Like, it was so close to them just having out a piece of paper saying, can you sign this? But it's interesting because after that, it caused this great buildup of these European teams because they're like, then they started to idolize, you know, the Jordans and the Ewings and the Johnsons and the Bird
Isn't Croatia like a surprise basketball powerhouse?
The Yugoslavian team of the early 90s, they were really strong. Yeah. And a lot of those players came over. Vladi Divac was the big one that you've probably heard of. But now, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, who's German. Manu Ginobili of the Spanish team from Spain. And I mean, Kobe Bryant played in the European League for many years. Yeah. He played it. His father was over there as well. So now there's a lot stronger international competitions in terms of basketball, which is why I think the 2000 men's basketball team or something around there, they pretty much just kind of lazed their way. Like, we're Americans, we'll win. And they placed fifth or sixth. Wow. Yeah. And it only took like two more Olympics for them to be like, all right, we got to get this back on track. And they did.
Yeah.
So, So it's interesting how it can play out like that on the Olympic stage.
Do you think they'll ever bring baseball back to the Summer Olympics? Or do you think that baseball and softball should have gone right now,
the mandate or the wish for it to come back would to be have Major League Baseball players join.
They're not going to take 2 weeks.
They're not going to take two weeks.
It's not exactly, you know, the NHL isn't exactly happy that they have to do that for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So to have
baseball. That's not 162 game season.
No.
Either,
right. No. And already, I mean, that's a lot to, people already complained about that, that extends really far into October. So and now you're going to take 2 weeks off.
The team, like, baseball, the contracts are a lot bigger than the NHL. When Mark Teixeira, Yankee thing, when he got hurt for the World Baseball, they blamed, you know, the Yankees, you know, the management, they were pissed off because, he got hurt. Teixeira got hurt during the World Baseball Classic, and then, the Yankees didn't have a first baseman for the
whole season. And I mean, that's the closest thing you're going to see to that is the World Baseball Classic, I mean, they don't even like that to begin with.
Right,
that was only done, and the only good thing that comes out of it in terms of the owners is that they get to see the international talent that they will one day pay like millions of dollars just to sign and hope they work out.
Right.
You know, so if anything, it's a 4-year showcase of who's that 17-year-old guy from Japan? Let's sign him.
I think that's the problem with these sports that have big professional leagues, and especially ones that recruit from places like the Caribbean Islands for baseball, Russia or wherever, is that you're getting a lot of really young guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are entering the major leagues. You know, baseball players, you know, if you're a hotshot baseball player from the islands, I mean, you don't have to go through the college system. You can just sign at 18 and you're playing major league ball.
As
a difference, you know, where most college players have at least, or most basketball players have gone through college, football players go through college,
basketball, it's one and done now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now. And that's only because
they, and that's because the league changed the rules.
Yeah, because they wanted them to stay out of the high school gyms,
right?
Because they were circumventing that. That's Kevin Garnett's a good example of somebody who was signed out of high school,
right? Right.
So, but yeah, they need baseball, and you see it in the when baseball was an Olympic event, it was basically like 8 teams, and 6 of them were from North America. The United States, Mexico,
Dominican Republic,
four of the islands, Cuba, and then it was Japan and one other wild card, maybe Australia, and that was it. And that was it. So, and then with softball, the problem was America was too dominant. Although it's ironic because in their last event, the Americans lost.
Yeah.
So I think
qualifiers, they won something like 94-1 or something. So yeah.
Right, but I mean that's an American sport.
Yeah.
So I would see softball coming back before baseball. If baseball comes back, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be several years where they're like, you know what, they're not coming, so let's just play it. So, but speaking of baseball, I want to get really quickly to a little Yankee news. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, he dropped his suit against Major League Baseball and the Players Union. So now he's out for the whole season.
He's out for the season.
I hadn't heard that.
No. Oh, yeah. He dropped the lawsuit, so he's in essence taking the 162-game ban for the season. So, all that posturing and all that stuff. I mean, I have no problem if you're going to say, I'm innocent, then go through with it. Like, take it to the ends of the earth. Where you're like, because otherwise now, you look at him and you say, why don't you look at him?
Well, let's be honest. Did anybody actually think he was innocent?
You know what? No, exactly.
Well, all right, I'm going to put on my other degree hat here and as lawyer's sake. But the question is, though, is, and I don't, obviously this is different. This is an arbitration kind of thing.
Sure.
So the standards are different. But, it's you fight it because... depending on how it's set up, it might be that the burden's on them to prove that he did something wrong.
Exactly.
And, and you fight it as long as you think that they can't. Basically, you're calling their bluff. You're saying, you need to lay it out. And then at some point it gets to where he's going to actually have to take it to before the arbitrator or before the judge or whatever. And then they see what the other side's cards are and they're like, okay, we're not betting against a royal flush here.
Exactly.
That's it. We're out. We're folding.
So, well,
I think the controversy came from how baseball got their evidence.
Because if it were done in federal or just any sort of actual law, it would be just totally thrown out. Like you see all this stuff. The thing with Ryan Braun, when he was tested and found to have taken performance enhancing drug, whatever it was. They got thrown out because they were able to prove that the guy who had the FedEx package, like he left it in a fridge overnight.
It was against the protocol.
Well, then that's thrown out just because it was left in a fridge, not that it was tampered with or anything else specifically. So you see it in something like that. So that's why I also kind of wanted to see it to go to the next level, which would have been something like the Supreme Court eventually, probably. But to see that sort of just like the circus. It would have embarrassed everybody, but it would have been pretty interesting, at least to see.
Did they ever make public all of the evidence, or just
not really? No, they did. They didn't.
I mean, they must have something pretty damning if they're gonna. That's why 162 games for him, and only what is it 10 for some?
To make an example.
Okay.
The same. The same reason the stocks were put in the town center in the olden days to make an example.
So
that's
also a lot of people thought he was a jerk. So it's easy to go hard on.
Ryan Braun was much more of a jerk than Ryan Braun, the guy who took the sample.
Yes.
He lost his job. And
Brian Braun publicly called him out. And it affected his life.
Exactly. And that was much worse than anything A-Rod did, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, all A-Rod did was get a painting of himself as a minotaur hanging above
his head. I guess that's it. I as a non-Yankees fan, do not know who Ryan Braun is.
Oh.
Everybody knows who A-Rod is.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, he's got the highest contract.
Ryan Braun won an MVP, and he's still not as known as somebody like A-Rod, who's, he was seen on the Super Bowl a couple years ago being fed popcorn by Cameron Diaz.
Exactly, right.
It's ridiculous.
There were also a lot of other players who got caught up in that sweep, but they were smaller, but A-Rod kind of got swept under the rug, and it was A-Rod who kind of became the poster child for that whole situation.
And the other thing was that they took a baseball-wide drug test. totally anonymous. They mm-hmm. would never release any of that. 20 people were caught. 20 people were found. And they the only name that came out was Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's and it. Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
But then he made it caused a scene and said and basically bullied all the reporters and said, I didn't do it. If you ask me again, like he threatened them basically. And now no one asks him anymore. Now he's a hero in Boston, even though he did use PEDs back in the day, and probably still uses them.
And,
but whatever.
But well,
Judy Jack when he was playing for the Trenton Thunder.
Yeah, that's true.
But it always goes back to that. Like, what you know? How do you handle it? And where somebody who
I think Ira got some bad advice. So he should have never admitted to doing it ever. Like he probably would have been better off.
But also with him, he's the kind of guy who's like pride before the fall. You know, he was.
I don't mean to sound like that. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm not a huge fan of A-Rod. I mean, you know, he helped us win a World Series, and
you're making a good point. Yeah,
but I don't understand why he is the. I mean, I don't know what the evidence was, but it seems like he didn't do anything worse than anyone else in the game. Like,
no.
I don't think...
And especially not just in baseball. Right. Like, he was not the worst in baseball, but he's seen as a poster child.
Right.
Now,
I think he's also the loudest.
Well, that too. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, if they had been able to get more on Barry Bonds back in the day, they would have hit him as hard as they could. It's like, look at the names who come up with this stuff, where it's, you know, Jose Canseco, everyone knew it, but he wasn't big enough nationally. Yeah. Mark McGwire
after
was
the
too
clean-cut
looking. You know, Barry Bonds... And Sosa, too. He slid. Mm-hmm. McGwire and Sosa slid because it was after the 94 strike. They were bringing baseball back.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get Barry Bonds, and then you get Curt Schilling, and Clemens. You get other guys, Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
Not sure. Actually, I meant Clemens, I think. Curt Schilling. But no
the poor guy. Poor guy's not doing too well. So, physically, too.
He's got cancer.
He has yet to release it. What kind it is.
Yeah, but he just made the announcement last week, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
I think
he was supposed to do
some work for the Phils, I think.
Yeah, he pitched for them for a while. I think he was supposed to be like a training camp coach or something, yeah. Because we always have a few of our former stars training
back
camp
the
coaches.
But
Schmitter was always
down
there.
I mean, when it did come out that they did PEDs, I think people were genuinely surprised. As much of a jerk as people thought he was, I don't think anybody expected it because he never had the physique of somebody who you would expect to do steroids, and he was always talked about as having the most natural ability out of
that's the thing. He was good from the beginning,
right?
Like there was no change overnight or something you could point to. He came up that way and he didn't change.
Barry Bonds was great before he did it too.
Yeah,
but then he became superhuman when he
that was jealous. Like when the All Century team is named and Ken Griffey Jr. gets picked over you, you know, here's a peer and you could have numbers in certain respects. Like he was a much better base stealer, he was a comparable fielder, a power hitter as well. But when you're looking at that and you're looking around all these guys and be like, I'm doing this too. Nobody else is going to, let me do this too. And then you get that sort of ego, that inflated ego where it's 24 plus one.
But it was interesting watching, a couple of years ago, the newest edition of Ken Burns' baseball series and talking about how the game has changed. And, sort of thinking, okay, they're coming down on all of these players for the PEDs and for the doping, but baseball, as it is, could never go back to what it was either because people don't want to see that. They want to see dingers. They want to see...
Years, it has been going back, though. It's definitely... There's more no-hitters...
That's true. It's more pitching,
Than I don't know. I can't imagine... Like, weren't there like 5 or 6 no-hitters a couple years ago?
Yeah, it matched up, I think, with 1991 as like one of the most in recent history. But that
it's pretty clear that drug testing is having an
effect. 6 asterisks because there was that blown no-hitter.
Poor guy. I forget that. Well, to go to the antithesis of A-Rod, Derek Jeter has announced that it's his final season.
Yes, it is.
I'll have to say that he was the kind of guy who at the beginning...
having a hard time with that.
Well,
tired of the Yankees getting all the headlines.
I'm reflecting a little bit because because the question was always asked or point was always raised. If he played for the Padres, you would never know his name, but because he plays for the Yankees, you know who he is, and You know, he doesn't do anything exceptional, but I got to say, you know, I mean...
I don't agree with that.
but looking back now, I mean, he has got the most... he's 3,000 hits, the only 3,000 hitter in the Yankees' history. I mean, he's got more hits, the most hits in the in the franchise. I mean, so you got to be...
I mean, maybe I just came at it not being a Premier League Yankees fan living out of the Yankees market. Maybe I just didn't hear those kinds of things, because as soon as I heard of him, he was already... A superstar, but
that was always the thing, because on those late '90s, early 2000 teams, before they got somebody like Giambi or somebody else, it was a lot of small parts. You know, a lot the pieces make the whole, as opposed to he hits 50 home runs, he hits 1,000 RBIs or whatever.
I think people bring up the stuff about the pot. You know, if he's on some other team, because part of what makes him a first ballot Hall of Famer is his postseason performance. He's very clutch hitter in the postseason, in the World Series. I don't know how many times. I think he was just a World Series MVP once.
It was 2000.
Yeah.
Well,
and also
All
Star Game MVP that year.
We won't go into that.
But I feel like that's kind of an unfair comment to him, just because if he's that caliber of a player, the Yankees are a magnet for that kind of a player. Like, he was gonna he spends a year slumming it with the Padres, and then the Yankees pick him up in offseason.
Well, that's the other thing. Started with the Yankees. He's been with the Yankees pretty much his whole career. Well, I mean, even if you don't know the Yankees, you don't know anybody in this area knows who Derek Jeter is. I mean, I think it would, even if, say, he was a player for the Tigers, if you know, and he started his career there, and that's where that's his whole career was with them, everybody in, you know, the Detroit area would know who he was. I mean, how many other players, you know, can say that? Like, they've started with this team.
Not many anymore. It's a rarity.
Yeah, Chipper Jones was the last one I can remember.
But it's a real...
Especially in the free agency era.
But...
Well, and then we talked about how, being with the Yankees the whole time. The Yankees don't do that anymore because they can't. But when they... Back in 1995, there have been some down years. They weren't... They drafted high.
Yeah,
because they had
they stomped. They stomped.
Yeah,
93 was their big turnaround.
Since 1996, so they can't draft high. They can't develop their own players anymore. Yeah. They have to buy other people's players. Like they don't. Yeah. They can't. They just can't do it.
It's funny. It actually took.
They're a victim of their own success, and they have to keep feeding the beast. They can't. They don't want attendance to go down.
Well, now it's a business. Now it's a business. That now your fans are basically your stockholders, and you have to reach a certain criteria. So
why the 189 thing, that goal went out the window this year, because Boston won the World Series. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They're like
they were losing Rivera.
Tickets were down.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately.
So what's 189?
That was their if the Yankees' payroll went under 189, their luxury tax would reset.
Got it.
Because every year you're over the luxury tax, you get assessed a penalty on top of each other, and it keeps on going up and up. So I think at this point, it's got to be at like 70%.
It's basically their salary cap without having a salary cap.
Right, now, I didn't know that was the cutoff for the luxury tax.
It punishes the teams who do well and have high payrolls. So basically the Yankees and the Dodgers
it's in the absence of a revenue sharing agreement.
They
do. I thought they didn't have that.
No, they do, which is lame, in my opinion. Whatever, it's fine.
But that's their way of keeping some place like Tampa Bay.
That's why Tampa can keep developing their own pitching and not have to. And basically, when someone gets too good, they basically just trade them.
Right. Meanwhile,
well,
that's
just outsourcing. I mean, the Yankees are being efficient in a global market. That's...
No. Look, they're being smart. We'll never say that the Yankees are bad at business. Yeah. That will never ever be said.
But, like they constantly get people say they buy their own. They buy their players and they buy championships. But they have no other choice because they don't have a farm system because they can't draft high enough to get a farm system. You can't if you're drafting in like the late rounds all the time, the good players are gone.
Yeah,
you're getting a bunch of maybe they'll work out, maybe we'll get lucky.
And the reason the reason they were able to, it was funny, when George Steinbrenner was suspended from baseball.
Jeter was a first-round pick. They don't get first-round picks anymore.
Right.
When George Steinbrenner was suspended from baseball for paying off a private investigator.
He might have betrayed you.
Yeah. So he was suspended from baseball, Steinbrenner, and because of that, he wasn't there to, you know, because before that he was trade everybody, mm-hmm. fire him, right. Yogi Berra, after five games, I'm firing you. being the coach. Five games in, get him out of here. So he wasn't there to pull that, all those shenanigans. Right. So the brain trust was like, all right, we really got to work it out. So that's why they were able to build all
Rivera,
those.
Pettit,
the core four. Posada, you know, why they were able to make the smart deals like getting, you know, Tino Martinez and mm-hmm. get Paul O'Neill and all this stuff. And then, yes, as they won and they, you know, had to draft later and later, then it became, who's a big star now? Who can we get? Who can we sign? Jason Giambi, Gary Sheffield, Matsui, A-Rod, Clemens. I mean, just all this stuff. So, yeah, but now they've reached a point where they have to reach that level. But now Jeter's the last link to those olden days, where now it's going back to Georgia.
They had one recent homegrown star, and that was Robinson Cano, who they picked up from the Dominican League, right, or something.
Yeah, like that. And now he's gone.
And he,
and that's the other reason why
you know, everyone kind of expected them to give him a bad contract, but they actually showed some restraint and didn't give him a 10-year contract into his age 40 season. And Seattle did. So.
And, yeah, and that's
they're really the ones paying for it. They're probably going to trade him after 5 years. Like Prince Fielder got traded from the Tigers.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's fine.
But they had a direct link because they saw his postseason stats and he did not perform well for Detroit. Prince Fielder. But when you look at somebody like Jeter.
Well, Cano hasn't had.
And that's the reason. But when you look at somebody like Jeter and you go, oh, he's not going to leave in free agency because where else are you going to go? It's the Yankees. You know, as hard as it is to say, it's the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's Madison Avenue. It's New York City.
Yeah. And that's part of his case for the Hall of Fame too, is the fact that he's going to the same team. And
he performed well.
Same position, playing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At shortstop last season he didn't play, but age 38, he had a very good season. At shortstop, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
So, but usually, now
most great shortstops have, like, you know, Cal Ripken Jr. moved to third base.
No, it's true. A-Rod moved to third base. I mean, but you see that.
The closest parallel I can draw right now is somebody who would be in a similar situation is Marty Brodeur of the Devils.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Where he was drafted by the Devils, has played with them for 20 years.
Yep.
And he's actually in the position of where would he go?
Yeah.
And he's facing that now because apparently, I don't follow the Devils as closely, but a friend of mine, we were talking about this the other night, he and the coach are having a lot of disagreements right now. And he's talking about, you know, as much as he'd like to retire with the Devils, he's like, if I'm not going to get to play anymore, he didn't get to play for six games before the Olympic break.
Yeah, that's true.
He's saying, you know what, if I'm going to go anywhere, he said the only place he wants to go is Montreal, and it's because it's his home city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He dreamed about playing for the Habs ever since he was a kid.
Absolutely.
It's like where all of his heroes were.
Yeah.
It's where his dad and his family played, his rich family lived. He's like, he's like, other than that, he's like, it's either New Jersey or Montreal or nothing, or I'm retiring.
No,
is he playing any Olympics?
No.
He's not.
He had been. He was the goaltender for a couple of Olympics. Yeah. I know, definitely. In,
he's pretty good.
He's the all-time winning goaltender of all time. He's the best.
But yeah, I mean, that's the closest parallel I can think of. In a currently playing athlete
who's
been with a team that long, because they're any sport, that sort of longevity is... Starting with a team and staying with them is almost unheard of.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, it's true.
Sometimes you see it with quarterbacks.
Sometimes. Well, but then you end up seeing Johnny Unitas in a San Diego Chargers uniform. Joe Montana in a Los Angeles Rams uniform.
You get these weird things where like they just want to hang on one more year and it just doesn't work.
Well, Brett Favre, Vikings.
But it's either you quit the game or the game quits you.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's going
to
happen. So.
Not everybody gets to pick their own ending. It's very rare to see two athletes, Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter now. We'll see how the season goes. But last year, Mariano had a great
season.
He was 43, and he had, I don't know how many saves. It was a lot of saves. I think he had one of the highest totals in the AL East.
Yeah, he was very good, very consistent.
I think it's also, you know, based on Jeter's performance last year, you know, he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to get back in it, but he wasn't able to. I think it finally hit home that maybe I can't do this forever anymore. Like maybe I really need to think about, can I still do this and, you know, continue the way I am.
And
he doesn't want to be anybody's backup. He wants
to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're used to a certain, performance on the field, and you're not seeing your body rebound, because they say like after the age of 30 or at least 35, you go, oh, that hurt a little bit more. I'm still sore on Thursday when I'd be done on like Tuesday.
Yeah. That's why Doc Halliday retired. Yeah, well, you know, he had a really bad. He was injured last year. He took most of the season off. He pitched a day in training camp, and he said, "Not going to happen. I'm out."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this season, but I think, you know, sort of setting it up, you know, he was not going to go quietly, you know, but you know, paying homage to the fans, paying homage to the organization that he clearly still loves and cares about, and I've said it for a while now, you could see him having some sort of coaching position, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said he doesn't want to do that. I think he said he'd rather own a team than coach a team.
But I think he's earned also a couple of years of, he said in the letter that he wrote, he'd like to take a summer vacation.
Yeah, he'll do what he wants.
I think he's earned it.
He's seen it both ways. Like, he's two of his friends, Posada and Mariano. Yeah. Mariano got to retire last year on his own terms, doing the job that he'd had, you know, for almost his whole career. It's
pretty much the way he wanted to retire.
He saw his friend Jorge Posada basically get benched.
Pushed out.
They stripped him of being a catcher for that year. He said, you're basically a DH. And he didn't hit so well, so they benched him, and they put him down the lineup. He threw a fit and took himself out of the lineup one day. So, like, there's two different ways. Like, either you retire because they don't want to give you a contract, or you retire on your own.
Same deal with Bernie Williams.
Yeah, Bernie Williams.
Bernie Williams technically isn't retired. He has not announced his retirement, and he hasn't played a game since Bush was still in office.
You're a junior. I'm sorry, I just don't know who you're talking about.
Bernie Williams, center field for the Yankees.
For the Yankees.
Elite athletes are stubborn. I mean... You have to be.
Yeah. You take 30, close to 40 years of your life, you're doing the same thing, and all of a sudden you can't do it anymore.
Unless you're like
Bernie, who's more than happy to just play the guitar. You know, I think he won a Grammy even.
Yes, like, he did.
Obviously, he could care less about baseball, so much so that he forgot to say, I'm retired.
He could walk in tomorrow and say, Hey,
I'm gonna play. If you will sign me to a contract, I would
love that if Bernie Williams just walked into center field one day.
And then you have somebody who, like Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart
still fit.
Cordell Stewart was a quarterback for the Steelers in pretty much throughout the late 90s into the 2000s. It took until last year, and he hadn't played for like more than six years, that he finally said, "All right, I guess nobody wants me. I'm retiring." Like, that's a guy who's just like, no, come on, I want to play. Like, oh,
some
fine,
people don't
retire.
Give up, though. Like,
some don't.
Like, Bartolo Colon, didn't he, like, have, like, all his blood taken out and put him back in?
Well, that's a big thing with athletes, the blood spinning. It's big in blood spinning. Peyton Manning did it. All these players, they go over to Germany. go over to Germany, they get their blood drawn, and they basically put it into like a centrifuge.
Isn't that Gattaca they do that?
And then they have it re-injected, and somehow, I don't know, I'm not a scientist, but this is the big thing. Like, all these people do it, and they say it works miracles for them.
It's a novel health treatment in Germany. I dare say they're not scientists.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's very true.
Germans believe a lot of things in healthcare.
Well, and apparently all these athletes go over there, and they come back, and they're like, well, I haven't played this well since I was
in my 20s.
Couldn't
they just go on, like, a really intense roller coaster?
I don't.
Wouldn't that,
You'd think so, but I don't know.
Played Disney
Bad
a few times.
Go into Taz Twister.
Right now, Lightning Blue. For a day and see what happens.
Right. I don't know. It's not meant for me, but, you know, obviously these people have a lot of disposable incomes, and they'll do whatever they can. So. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining me. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Aaron, Mike, Reagan. Thank you very much for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, and we'll have to do this again another time. Yes. Absolutely. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the search part. You can come to our website, everymansports.podbean.com, or you can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thanks very much. Bye.